It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. This is Kim Munson, and we're going to have a great day today. I have in studio with me two friends and also a valued partnership sponsors, and that is Karen Levine. Karen, welcome.
Good morning.
And you are an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance.
I am.
And so it's great to have you here. And then Lauren Levy, you are a mortgage specialist. It could be, you know, regular for, you know, buying a home or a reverse mortgage or investment properties. With Polygon Financial Group, you set a new angle on home loans. So you specialize in mortgages. So it's great to have you here as well.
That's right. Great to be back. Thank you.
Okay. And today's a special day in Colorado, and that is Colorado Gives Day. Americans are among the most generous people out there. And Coloradans, I think, have proved that on Colorado Gives Day. This is one of your favorite days of the year, isn't it, Karen Levine?
It is. Colorado Gives Day is one of my favorite days of the year. And, you know, we're all in the shopping spirit this time of year. Mm-hmm. And for me, today I get to go shopping for charities, and it's so exciting. I go on the Colorado Gives site, and I go look for my favorite charities. I look for things that my friends support, mm-hmm. things that, you know, they may volunteer for, they're involved in. And I personally support Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies because, of course, I'm in love. I'm in love with Goldens. And Sweet Callie is a 1.5-year-old pup that we have right now over at Phoebe's Place. And she has hip dysplasia. And so we'd like to see her get repaired and get into a forever home.
Okay.
And my other favorite is, of course, the Colorado Realtor Foundation. And we try to empower people so they can have home ownership, but some and not all can achieve that American dream. So we want to make sure they have a roof over their heads.
Well, and you are a real proponent. You work diligently and partner with me to protect private property rights, home ownership. You know, it's really something special for people. And certainly people should have choices out there, but that is something that you've worked at on the state level and on the national level. Mm-hmm. So it's great to have you here.
Thanks.
Lauren Levy. Have you been thinking about where you're going to be shopping today for Colorado Gives Day?
You know, actually I have, but I kind of do stuff throughout the year. And one of the charities that I like to support is called Kenzie's Causes. It's it was started by a friend of mine's wife, and it's really blossomed into this huge thing. They just had their annual toy shop in Denver, and they do it in, I think, Fort Collins and Loveland and down in the Springs now and kind of on the Western Slope as well. In the fall, they collect money for backpacks for kids when they go back to school. But mm-hmm. their big thing is in the winter, getting Christmas presents, and people line up for just, you know, less privileged people. Mm-hmm. And this toy, they do it now up at the Denver Coliseum, and they have a line for people, you know, the night before. And it's just amazing the amount of toys and stuff that they have putting together and bikes and everything and hundreds of volunteers that they're helping a lot of families. So,
okay. And how do you spell that?
K-E-N-Z-I.
K-E-N-Z-I, okay.
Kenzie's Causes, it's named after the founder. She had a child that didn't make it at birth, and so that's who she named it after and kind of inspired her.
Okay. Wow, okay. Yeah, it's going to be a great day. Today I'm going to go shopping as well, so I have a feeling Gurr will have to be on my shopping list.
Well, we certainly hope so.
Yeah. So, okay, let's jump in here to the show, though. We'll go through a few headlines. You both are in the real estate or mortgage business. There's some important things that people need to know about that, so we want to inform people about that. And, you know, as we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something is a really good idea – now, Lauren, I know that you've got kids, so sometimes with kids I think force is a really fine idea. Do it because I said so. But actually – If you have to force somebody to do something, if you have to force an idea on people, Karen, then maybe it's not such a good idea. We need to engage in the battle of ideas. And America was founded on this whole freedom concept. And Americans, we realize, do really like freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And again, if it's a good idea, you don't need to force people. And just a reminder, Nazi stands for the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And so socialism, we have this narrative that a lot of our young people, they're kind of romancing this idea of socialism. But ultimately, people don't do well under socialism. And that's why we have to engage in this battle of ideas every day. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. So we'll continue to talk about this on a regular basis and you know, empower us to engage with our neighbors and our family members and our colleagues on this in good, thoughtful conversations. I want to say thank you to our team. Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, you are just awesome. Yesterday, we had Dr. Laura on. Charlie selects the music, the bumper music, and he had these songs about Laura. And Steve and I are just cracking up. I mean, he's so creative on all this bumper music. So thank you to all of you, and thank you to our listeners. You're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose today. Strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Check out my website, Kim Munson, that's spelled MONSON.com. And you can email me there at kim@kimmunson.com. We've got some amazing things that are going to be coming up here this holiday season. Another great partner, and that is Hooters Restaurants and also Little Richie's New York Pizzeria Stores are once again raising money for Realities for Children. And this is a Bikes for Tykes program. And they raise the money to provide helmets and bicycles for local children who have been abused, neglected, or at risk for abuse and neglect. It's a great cause. All the money goes to help the kids. So that's a place I'm going to also do some Colorado Gives today because they're doing great work there. And then just so you know, we are organizing our Stand for Colorado Rally 2020. I know we're all excited about Christmas and New Year's, but January 8th, the legislature goes back into session. And we need to let them know that we are watching them. They were a little out of control this last time around. So it will be 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, the day the legislature begins their convenes their next session. It'll be on the west steps of the Capitol. I know it's January. I know it could be a little chilly. So get your gear, get your muffler and your mittens and your hat and be there because we need to let them know that we are paying attention. And then also we're beginning a salon series in 2020, and Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice did a really great workshop at the Western Conservative Summit. It was the punches to fight back on democratic socialism. Apparently it was standing room only, so they're going to take the show on the road. And they said, hey, how about could we partner with you and do something over at Jen's in Centennial at Water's Edge Winery? And so that will be January 13th. And so on all this right now, just email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and I'll get you connected on where you need to be with that. So since you two are in studio, I was thinking homeownership. What could be our inspirational quote? And Gwen was an American academic administrator, businessman, and politician who served as the 27th governor of Nevada from 1999 to 2000 and the interim president of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Originally, he was a Democrat. He later joined the Republican Party prior to being elected governor. He was born in 1936, and he died in 2010. But his quote was, there is something permanent and something extremely profound in owning a home. What do you think of that, Lauren Levy?
I agree with that completely. It's an important power to have, I think, in your life to feel like you own something and you control it and you watch it blossom and you build wealth.
I totally agree. And there's something about coming home. And Karen, I know that that's what you specialize in, is helping people, you know, come home.
Mm-hmm. And I think that once you commit to home ownership, it allows you to commit to other things, commit to building a family, commit to building your career. And like Lauren said, it empowers you and it creates wealth. And I think what cautions me when we see all these apartment buildings, luxury apartment housing, is that there is a faction that would like to get us out of home ownership where we are not empowered. And obviously that's a concern. So we want to make sure that people understand that taking that step into home ownership is an open door, not only to a home, but so much more opportunity.
Well, and you know, we're free market girls. If people and guy, you know,
and guy.
If people, you know, prefer their lifestyles or whatever, a luxury apartment works for them, great. But what we've seen is public policy that is tapping down the opportunity for home ownership and actually trying to support people moving into apartments. And so when you have public policy in here starting to do that, it's subtle, but it's forced. It's forcing kind of a, in a way, almost social engineering where people live. And so, again, the idea, like you said, Lauren, home ownership, there's something so empowering about that.
Absolutely. And I know the prices can be daunting, especially in Colorado. That's the thing that scares a lot of people. But when you're paying rent, you're building someone else's wealth.
Good point. Mm-hmm. Good point. So why not build your own?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll talk more about that. But I also have three jokes. I actually was Googling for homeowner jokes, but these three came up. One's kind of related, but okay.
All right. We'll see how you did.
Okay. Steve, are you ready? Have you looked at them? Do you think they're funny? Oh, okay. A while back, this was actually in the late 90s, AT&T fired President John Walter after 9 months, saying he lacked intellectual leadership. He received a $26 million severance package. Perhaps it wasn't Walter who was lacking intelligence. Okay, number two. An Illinois man pretending to have a gun kidnapped a motorist and forced him to drive to two different automated teller machines. The kidnapper then proceeded to withdraw money from his own bank accounts. Lastly, okay. Fire investigators on Maui determined the cause of a blaze that destroyed a $127,000 home. This must have been a while back, Lauren.
No kidding.
I'm going to say. Before we were born.
Exactly. Okay. So fire investigators on Maui determined the cause of a blaze that destroyed a $127,000 home. It was a short in the homeowner's newly installed fire prevention alarm system. The homeowner says, this is even worse than last year when someone broke in and stole my new security system. Okay, on that note, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we've got some headlines to go through, and then we'll go have some really good news on the FHA front. We'll go through that. We'll talk about your favorite charities. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. We're having important conversations about things that affect your life. It's great to have in studio with me Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with REMAX Alliance, and Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. I'm looking at your website here, Lauren, and I'm like, Polygon? A new angle on home loans. I get it. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Did you have to think about that for a long time?
5 minutes at least.
5 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You know, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, mm-hmm. he says, I think everybody should pay their taxes, the legal amount they should pay, but not a penny more. But I thought this was pretty interesting because I don't like it when they waste money. This is from Judicial Watch. Says the U.S. blows $230 million on wasteful projects like a self-cleaning toilet and promoting Serbian cheese. Says although the year is not quite over, the federal government has already managed to blow more than $230 million on outrageous things. The self-cleaning toilet, a statue of Bob Dylan for a foreign embassy, a dubious research on the effects of nicotine on fish. The list goes on and on. It was published recently by Senator Rand Paul. Says the toilet may sound like a joke, but it's a serious boondoggle that has fleeced taxpayers out of at least $500,000. The self-cleaning toilet is located at the Huntington Metro Station in Washington, D.C., and sits, no pun intended, inside what appears to be a silver shed. From 2003 to 2017, the government spent approximately $500,000 maintaining the single self-cleaning toilet, the waste report states.
Another pun.
Sorry. Okay. The price tag is likely much higher because maintenance invoices for 2007, 2012, 13, and 14 have been conveniently lost. And so the Inspector General of the famously inept Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, the Metro, was referred to the toilet scandal as Operation Golden Potty. Nevertheless, Congress keeps writing the checks with an estimated $153 million scheduled to go to Metro in 2020, despite its well-documented transgressions. Can you believe that? You want to comment on that, Lauren?
I don't have much to add, but I can believe it.
Really, you know, honestly, another thing, $84,000 to buy a statue of Bob Dylan for the U.S. Embassy in Mozambique. The waste report points out that the State Department already had a generous art allowance for all of its construction projects. And, you know, I think the point here is it's absolutely astonishing that money could be spent on this. I mean, I'd like a self-cleaning toilet at my house.
Exactly. Would save us a lot of time, right?
Okay. But this is, I want to go over to another article here. And that is here. Bunch of kids go down to the Denver Public Library. Sixth graders, this was from KDVR. Sixth graders from Skinner Middle School in Northwest Denver were visiting the library last Thursday when students say a group of homeless people near the entrance began swearing at them using racial slurs and using inappropriate hand gestures. At one point, multiple students say a handgun fell off a man's lap and onto the ground near the students. I just want to forget about it because I want everything to be fun again, said one of the students. Her name's Aaliyah Patrick. She said her classmates had just finished touring a nearby museum and were walking into the library when the incident occurred. He was being really mean, she said. Why would you be yelling at kids, even adults? Why would you be yelling at them? And it says Patrick's mom said she found out what happened when her daughter got home hours after the incident, and I was pretty mad about it. So let's think about this. Where was I yesterday? Oh, I was downtown. And I actually saw on, this was over near the Capitol, there was actually like a homeless just camped out on the sidewalk. It looked like they were, you know, they were digging in. They were going to be living there. And it looked like there was a tent and there was carts around there on the sidewalk. And I actually kind of, I think I questioned safety just a little bit about that. But, you know, I really believe in value for value. And even when people are standing on the side of the you know, the street or the highway with, or at the intersection with a sign, I'm like, you know, I am not going to give money because that corner looks awful. If in fact, I think if they took care of that corner, if they had a broom and they had a dustpan and they had a trash bag and that looked great, you know, I might consider it. But I think that it's actually almost saying you don't respect another person if you just give them money just because you feel sorry for them. Because I think every human being has value, but I think we need to have trading value for value. And this homeless thing is out of hand. And the fact that these kids were going into the library and they were yelling at them and they were doing hand gestures, I mean, I just think it's awful. Karen, do you have a comment on it?
Well, I think when I heard the story, I hate to say it, but I questioned how well the reporting was done. From the standpoint that it seemed a bit exaggerated. And if it did occur,
okay.
I mean,
okay,
yes,
fair enough.
That's totally disrespectful. But I wondered if, you know, it was taken out of perspective from the standpoint of the level of what was going on.
Okay.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Okay.
But you talk about respect and responsibility and homelessness. The better story is the man that was cleaning the roads. Did you hear that story?
Huh.
And he was in a neighborhood and he was chipping away the ice
and stuff. Okay.
And somebody in the neighborhood thanked him for cleaning up.
Okay.
And they asked where he lived. And he said, well, I live in my car and I haven't had a home for the last 3 years. and yet I want to be out and help my community where I can. A totally different perspective and a much better story.
Much, and again, value for value. I mean, somebody's out there working. Lauren, your thoughts?
It just makes me think is all it really does. I was just on a, for our work at our office the other night, we had our Christmas party and we did a bus tour of various restaurants. And I hadn't been downtown in a while. And one of the restaurants was an awesome barbecue place, but it took us through some areas I hadn't been in. And just like you were saying, Kim, like there was one encampment where this thing was just a massive, looked like an 8-person tent, you know, that wasn't going to be going anywhere anytime soon. And it just got me thinking about what that person's life is like, you know. Do they have mental health problems or what it is? There's so much that goes into this that it just really just makes me think and stuff that I'm not used to seeing in my daily travels.
And, you know, I think about this a lot. I mean, I care deeply about my fellow man, and I also want to treat them like human beings and not pets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we have talked more and more about homelessness and people, have, you know, there, I think there's been kind of a conversation to try to make people feel guilty about success, about home ownership, the things that they've worked hard for. But yet, when I look from a public policy standpoint, you know, we've put more and more money, more and more people are working on homelessness in the in government. And look what we have.
More homeless.
We have more homeless. And so there's something that's not quite matching up. And then, Lauren, you mentioned this issue on mental health. You know, we're starting to hear conversations about China and these opioid crises, and that are they in effect being able to affect our young people, you know, through getting people addicted to drugs? And then that takes me over to the education system, where shouldn't we be in our education system, you know, teaching kids to do the basic things that, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, being able to balance books, being able to run a business. A lot of kids don't graduate with those skills. People used to. Lauren?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, any thoughts on that?
I agree with you completely. And I've seen a lot of stories, and you mentioned China and the opioids, of, you know, these investigations that have been done leading back there, and we're just a dumping ground for a lot of the drugs that they're creating over there. It's not just coming from Mexico. A lot of these pills are making their way in from China for sure.
Mm-hmm. I heard something yesterday that, you know, and some of the ingredients are coming from China. They're cooking it up in Mexico and then bringing it across the border, which, you know, means border security be a good idea. Mm-hmm. So, Karen, what do you think about all that?
I think I'm taking the Lauren stand. It's something to be very thoughtful about and trying to navigate the information that we receive. You had made the comments about public policy and the increase of homelessness and government's involvement. And there's a part of me, and it sounds a little slanted maybe, but it's become vogue to be homeless.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, you know, you get a lot of attention, you get a lot of media.
You get a lot of money.
You get a lot of money. And I think that it used to be something you wanted to get out of, and now it's something you kind of want to hang out in.
Yeah. And speaking of that, and then we'll get to Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Years and years and years ago with my church, we had gone down to a homeless shelter, I think it was. Maybe it was at a church, but homeless guys were coming in, and they could get a hot meal, and then also we had snow boots and mittens and things. And so, you know, so I was working that particular area. And what I realized is that, I mean, they all, I mean, it was a community. And they're like, oh, yeah, on like Wednesday, they have great chili out in Golden. And on Thursday, they have great here. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. And that's where I came up with the, I realized there are some people that just can't take care of themselves. And, you know, we as Americans have always been very generous to take care of them. But then you enter all these government programs and you get more and more and more of this. And I still go back to this trading value for value, because if I say I just give you something because you can't take care of yourself, I mean, how does that empower you? But if we trade something, then I'm saying I respect you. I think that you can bring something to the table. I hope I'm making sense today.
I think you are.
Okay.
And it brought to mind another charity opportunity is Bayard Enterprises. I was speaking with a friend of mine last week, and his wife is I think the executive director over there.
Okay.
But they take homeless, uneducated people, educate them, and give them purpose, and put them in small businesses, get them employment, empower them to be able to be on their own. And apparently, they have, I think it's a traveling shower truck that they take over to Civic Park for the benefit of homeless to shower and get to work and, you know, help them. So another, you know, opportunity out there that is available, you know, for people to improve.
And you know what? Our church does that as well. And I hope I don't sound like Scrooge, but quite frankly, I think that, you know, if you, you know, use the shower, you should also be, you know, help clean it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jason McBride, I don't know if I even want to ask you what you think
toilets
of what's going on toilets and showers today. How are you this morning?
Well, good. I'm just wondering what they do with the used water.
I never
do you
know.
Have any ideas?
Yeah, what do you think, Jason?
I think I don't want to know, and I'm glad I'm on a well.
Okay, there you go. So yesterday we talked about the jobs number, and that was pretty amazing. So what's on your radar this morning?
Well, you guys had mentioned about government waste, and it got me to thinking. There was a guy one time that he owed the government $3,400, so he sent him two hammers and a toilet seat and asked him to call it even. It didn't work on his side.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But, you know, seriously, Kim, coming into the end of the year, and I know I sound a little like a broken record, yeah, we are at the second lowest tax rates we've ever been at in the history of this country as far as the federal income tax. And, you know, look at your situation. I mean, the 12% tax bracket for a single person goes up to about $39,000 this year. For a married couple, it's about $79,000. And that's taxable income, so that's after even your standard deduction. So if you think about it, Kim, a single person that makes $53,000, they get to take a standard deduction of around 12, maybe even 13. So that gets you right at the top of the 12% bracket. So again, if your income's kind of less than that $52,000, if you're in the single bracket, somewhere around maybe 102, 103, married filing jointly. If you're under those numbers, it may make sense to look at converting some of your IRA to Roth and soak up that 12% bracket while you still have the chance. Seems to me like kind of a waste to let it go unused, mm-hmm. If you know what I mean.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, Karen had a question for you.
Mm-hmm. Jason, because today is Colorado Gives Day, mm-hmm. and we've heard a little bit of press of people pushing back in their giving dollars because of the changes in the tax rate, I just kind of want to get your perspective. And my thinking is that if we've been putting more money into people's pocket because of the standard deduction, their giving heart should still be prevalent because they have more cash to give potentially.
Yeah, I think so, Karen, and there are, you know, it depends on your exact tax situation. There are a few people that are very charitable that may have been affected a bit when they changed the charitable deduction and tried to bring the standard deduction up. But I think most folks are still coming out the same, if not ahead, with the standard. And quite frankly, I haven't really talked to anybody that has said, well, I'm not going to give to charity anymore. We might grumble about it a little bit, but I think people that are charitable tend to continue to be charitable, you know, no matter what the circumstance. So, you know, I'm not sure if that's the question you're asking, but from my observation, I don't think it's been a real damage to charitable giving overall.
Thank you. I was just curious what you thought.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think. And I know Lauren would probably chime in on this one, too. Don't forget, If you're over the age of 70 and a half, there's a thing called a qualified charitable distribution, which helps to deal with this problem, where you could take money directly out of your IRA account, and it goes directly to charity, and it never even hits your tax return. So it's a way to get your money out of your IRA. You don't pay any tax on it, and it goes directly to the charity, which is the same result as taking it out, giving it to charity, and then trying to take a deduction.
Mm.
So there's always a workaround.
Okay, Lauren?
Excellent.
Oh, he's exactly right, especially when this time of year when people are having to do their required minimum distributions from IRAs if they're over 70 and a half and they don't need the money and they don't want to have additional taxes. You can do this qualified charitable distribution instead and send the money directly to the charity and avoid the taxation on it.
Okay, okay. So, Jason, this sounds like something that people should sit down with you guys over at Presidential Wealth Management and do a discovery session because this probably needs to be done by the end of the year or not.
Well, the qualified charitable distribution does, and, yes, definitely a Roth conversion also needs to be done by December 31st.
Okay. So check out airpresidential.com. That's A-I-R, presidential.com. And you can reach Jason and his team there. Or give Natalie a call. She'll be there at the switchboard at Presidential Wealth Management. Phone number is 303-694-1600. I teasingly tell her I give her phone number out every day. But it's 303-694-1600. Jason, thank you so much. We'll talk to you. I'm not going to talk to you tomorrow. We're probably going to be talking to either Lauren Levy or John Buckingham.
Well, hey, great for your listeners.
You have a great day. We'll talk to you soon, and thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go to break in studio. Karen Levine, Lauren Levy. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, where we have conversations about things that affect your lives. Thrilled to have in studio with me Karen Levine, RE/MAX Alliance, and Lauren Levy with Polygon Fi. And let's talk a bit about, there's some exciting things happening in the FHA lending market. And so why don't you explain that to our listeners, Lauren?
Okay. So what we're referring to is what's known as spot approvals that have been brought back. So this affects FHA loans. Remember, FHA loans are not just for the first-time homebuyer, low-down payment folks. They're also governing reverse mortgages. So this applies to both types of loans. But there used to be a thing called a spot approval. It went away, and then what the FHA required is that an entire condominium complex had to be approved through the FHA. Their budgets and what we call CC&Rs, all the rules and regulations, had to be approved. It was an expensive process for the condo association, and it took a while. And quite frankly, a lot of condo associations just decided it wasn't worth it. So that would make it ineligible for FHA buyers to buy in there, which could really hurt sellers because it limits the market. So now they've come back and brought back these spot approvals where even if the whole association or community is not approved, they will look at it on a case-by-case basis and issue a case-by-case approval called a spot approval for that transaction to happen. And so it's opened up a whole market now for sellers and buyers that want to look at condos that where the whole association is not approved.
Well, and Karen, I've always thought condos, you know, that's typically been a great way for young people to not pay rent, to actually start to have that money, start to create wealth. And, of course, we also had that crazy condo construction defects law here in Colorado, which hopefully I know you guys every year down at the State House are working on that. But this is pretty cool for people that want to start to try to get into their own property, right?
Exactly. And not only has spot approval basically returned to the marketplace, the guidelines for the association approval, for the complex, the community approval, those guidelines have eased and made it easier for them to get approved. So if you are a homeowner in a condominium complex that is not FHA approved and you want to do something good for your community, is go to your board of directors and encourage them to revisit the ability to get their community approved by FHA. The biggest hurdle has been the percentage of investor properties within a complex versus owner-occupant properties.
Okay.
And they've adjusted those percentages a little bit because the market has changed. And what I think is interesting is that the National Association of Realtors has been working on this for 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
Because when we went into the recession, all that was restricted and pulled back. But we were successful. So on October 15th, it went into effect, and we're hoping that that will help affordability in our marketplace here in the metro area.
Okay. So the next question, Lorna, I think I'll toss this over to you. You mentioned that there it has to be a percentage between investment properties and people that own. So my brain's going, well, why should government be involved in that? You know, we like more limited government. But yet, I mean, does it affect a property? Does it affect things regarding investment versus ownership?
So the way I've always explained this to my clients is everything involving lending comes down to risk. And so there's, you know, if you have a lower credit score, you get a higher rate because you're considered a higher risk at paying your bills, right? You've proven that you have a less clean history of paying your bills. That's why your score is down. The lenders and FHA look at an investment property as something where if I own my own property and I have an investment property and I get in some sort of financial straits, I'm going to pay the mortgage on my roof over my head first.
Okay.
Rather than the mortgage on my investment property, I'll let that property go if I had to choose one or the other. So investment properties have always been looked at riskier from the lending standpoint.
Okay.
And then you have, quite honestly, a bunch of renters in a building that it's not their property. They don't necessarily have pride of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not necessarily going to take care of the place as well as owners would.
Isn't it funny how that happens?
Yeah, so you can bring the value of a building down by having, that's been the thought of too many rental tenants in it versus owners.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they've put restrictions on the amount of renters or investment properties they want in a community of condos versus people that own.
It probably, I mean, in a way, I hate to ever say that I think that government rules, but in a way that kind of makes sense to me, Karen.
Well, and I think that it does make sense, and Lauren did an excellent job explaining it and why when you increase risk, and that's what's hard for many consumers in today's world, they don't understand. As you increase risk, people don't want to participate as much, you know, and the same is true in their lives. When things get more risky, they're more apt to pull back.
Uh-huh.
In whatever they're doing. And so the government, and in the case of, you know, FHA financing, that's a government oversought product. So you have those restrictions. And but it's nice that they're looking at that risk as being maybe potentially a little bit less risky and a more healthy economic environment that we're seeing today.
Well, an FHA tries to run a balance. Kim, they have a pool of money from all the mortgage insurance that's paid on those loans that pays for losses when there is a foreclosure or something happens to one of the properties they lend on. But they're lending money, and they don't want to lose it you know, they want to get paid back. I've had people that have called me before to try to get a loan on an FHA, but they defaulted on their student loans. And I tell them they can't get an FHA loan, and they don't understand why. Isn't the government's job to help us? I'm like, well, you're already proven you won't pay them back on your student loans, and now you want them to lend you money to buy a house. That's risk to them, and you've proven that you're going to burn them. So why would they lend? You know, so they look at these investment properties as more risk, and they don't want to have a claim.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the housing crisis, though, what was that, 2008, 2009, when that happened? You know, I know that many times they like to, you know, the media likes to say that it was Big Bang's fault or whatever. It actually was government.
That's right.
Government. Explain that to our listeners, Lauren.
And I've been searching for this video that I used to have, and I've lost it, but I have. It was awesome, and it covered through many presidencies, so it wasn't partisan necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember it was Barney Frank was there, Christopher Dodd. They are the ones that wrote the Dodd-Frank, and they were the lead. And they had these CEOs of these banks, and they were just pounding them about the American dream and the rights of home ownership. And we need to create programs where whatever you have to do, if it has to be zero down, interest-only loans, whatever it is, we got to get people to own homes. And then when everything hit the fan, they brought those same guys back.
So they were forcing them to do that.
Well, they were just pushing and pushing.
But there was government policy as well, wasn't there?
Yes.
They changed things. So
they made it okay to do these loans. And the banks were kind of like, I don't know if I want to do this thing. It's a little risky for us. Like, well, we need homeowners. And then as soon as it blew up, they brought the same guys back in at these big banks and said, what'd you do? What'd you do? What were you thinking? How could you have these programs in place with nothing down and interest only to 100%? And they're like,
honestly,
you told us to.
We actually have a video.
We did exactly what you wanted, and now you're fining us to the hilt.
I know. It's pretty amazing what happened on that. So, you know, I think this is really cool what's happening now with condos, but you have to make sure you have skin in the game. And this is, you know, in a way, what you just described to me kind of breaks my heart about a student that they've defaulted on their loans. And now they want to buy a house, and you're right. You have not proven that your word was good over here. So, you know, how could we trust you here? But this whole student loan thing, we should probably do a show on that. This is heartbreaking. Again, the government got involved in that, Lauren. And so kids could sit in their basement. They could apply for loans. I heard a kid say that I actually got a loan, and I went kayaking, and I, you know, traveled Europe and this. And then they didn't realize that, oh, I'm going to have to pay this back. So
Right. Let's
go to break. Karen Levine, Lauren Levy, it's so fun to have you guys in studio. I love this when we do this.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Let's go to break. This is the Kim Munson Show. It's Colorado Gives Day. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show, and Merry, Merry Christmas. It is the season. Charlie is now playing all of this great Christmas music as our bumper music. I just love it. In studio with me, Karen Levine, award-winning realtor, RE/MAX Alliance. Phone number is 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. And Lauren Levy with Polygon Fi. You are a mortgage specialist, and you've got a great phone number. I don't have it memorized yet. So what is it again?
303-880-8881.
I love that one, too. I will get that maybe by next time you're in here. I hope
there's only three numbers to memorize,
Kim. It's just the order. So
zero and eight and yeah. three.
Well,
oh, there's a one, so I guess there's four.
There's
numbers.
Okay. Four numbers. Okay, 303-880-8881.
That's right.
303-880-8881. Okay, so what's happening in the housing market in Colorado, Karen?
Well, it's kind of exciting. You guys are going to get a kind of preview, peek view before it gets released.
You heard it first
Woo-hoo. On the Kim Munson Show. The Colorado Association of Realtors November statistics came out, or will be coming out here in the next 48 hours. And I think it's exciting. We are seeing great activity in the real estate market. What we refer to as pending or under contract properties, they are up 22% from last November.
Nice. So that means more people are getting a home. Is that right?
Well, more people are getting into the marketplace.
Okay.
Now, the flip side, which we've talked about the last couple of months, is the sold data is not increasing at the same pace.
Okay. But so is it increasing?
It is increasing. Okay. It was just up 0.5% from last November, but it's up 5% year over year.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've got, more people in houses than we did last year. So that's excellent.
That's good.
And, but we continue to be challenged with inventory. And I heard Lawrence Yoon, he is our chief economist at the National Association of Realtors, and he said at our meetings a couple weeks ago that low inventory, shortage of inventory, is the new normal in the United States. So it is not a local problem, even though we have more challenges here in Colorado because of construction defects. It's occurring nationwide. And again, it is a reflection of government regulation in the housing market. So the more that we can do to limit that policy, those regulations, the more affordable we can make housing and the more housing we can have available.
And you and I are dedicated to making that happen.
We're trying.
We're working on that. So what do you think about these numbers, Lauren Levy?
I can see firsthand just from doing mortgages that there's activity for sure. I know deals die. I think that's part of what Karen's referring to. When people go under contract and then they don't have the closings, something typically happens on inspection where there was a flaw with the property that they couldn't come to an agreement on. But I also know from listening to some information from builders with housing prices the way they are and with the cost of labor where it is right now with the shortage, for what it costs them to build a home, it's hard for them to build an affordable home.
It's force all over this. Government regulation making labor more expensive.
Yep. And so they end up having a higher priced home just out of the gate. And so that's who they're selling it to, is a higher end buyer.
Well, you talked about labor costs and actually we're going to talk about this tomorrow. There are things that will probably be presented in this 2020 legislature here in Colorado that would increase the cost of labor significantly. It would take more money out of workers' pockets. And, of course, they're going to try to put a bow on it and make it sound like it's going to be a really good program. And I'm talking about the family leave program. Mm. It would be a payroll deduction fee, not a tax, because if it was a tax, we'd get to vote on it. But increasing labor, it hurts people who are trying to get into the house, and it hurts people that are building houses because it makes it more expensive. And so, of course, I always have to come back is let's lower these rules and regulations so that more people can get involved in this, Lauren.
I agree. And, I mean, that cost is not going to get absorbed at the builder level. When these regulations occur, they're going to increase the cost on the end user, and you have a higher priced property, which is limiting affordability in just another instance of limiting affordability.
But the good news, there is a good news thing, and that is that rates are low right now.
That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah, rates are, I mean, we've been in this market now for 10 years, and I get asked all the time when people want to do a loan, well, what do you think if I wait 2 weeks, or what if I wait 3 months? And I don't have the slightest idea, because we have such a news-driven market.
Don't you have a crystal ball in your office?
I wish. But we have such a news-driven market. You know, I'm checking my phone all the time for headlines, especially with what's going on with tariffs right now. One day we are imposing tariffs, the next day we're going to delay, then we're imposing, or then we have a phase one deal, then we don't have a phase one deal. And the market just spikes up and down and up and down, and
it's
rates go with it.
It's hard to know short term.
Yeah, it's hard to know what's going to happen. And so I just say, jump in, get moving. And if things change and rates drop, well, then that's why they have the thing called a refinance. And you can just do it again later and 6 months from now and take advantage of lower rates if they're there.
But interest rates are pretty darn low right now.
Yeah, They're not quite as low as they were maybe back in August, but they're still really low, relatively speaking, and for what we've seen in the last several months. So it is a great time if you want to take out money to repair your home or make any improvements, or you have student debt that's at a higher rate that you want to consolidate, or go and buy a home. Rates are really low, and it's a good time to do that.
Okay. One other question, Karen Levine. What about an investment property? I mean, do you also help people with that?
Most definitely. And investment properties are another great way to build your wealth. It's a great way to diversify your portfolio, to get yourself out of just being in the stock market. And rents are increasing, and with increasing rents, your potential for cash flow is great.
Okay.
Lauren made the comment about risk with investment financing. They're going to ask, the mortgage industry is going to ask for more down payment on an investment property, but that's going to help your cash flow over time. And there's great opportunity out there to be able to get into the market still. You need a good realtor, and I'm certainly willing to talk to you.
I've known you for 30 years.
Awesome. About being an investor and what does that look like. But I have a client that I'll be meeting with this week who bought an investment property several years back with the intention of that being their move down home. And they're retiring and going to be moving into it. So that will alleviate them having a capital gain situation down the road.
Oh.
But they've used it for income for these past, I think, 5 years, and now they'll move into it. So there's some great strategies out there.
Okay. And Lauren, it is. It's a great time to consider an investment property.
Yeah, I agree with Karen. I've had a few clients that have made investment properties their investment plan for retirement. They've tried to get to where they have 5, 6, 7, sometimes 10 investment properties. They put money down. They keep them up. They get renters in there. The renters pay the mortgage. It pays the bills. It's not so much for cash flow now. They're putting everything into making the mortgage payments. And their plan is by hopefully when they're 50, the home is paid off. They have 10 properties all paid full. And now they're collecting, you know, $2,000, $2,500 a month.
Cash flow.
In rent times 10. And they're retired. And that's their income plan.
Okay.
And it's amazing to see that happen.
Okay. So, well, a couple of things. First of all, Colorado Gives Day, GRR. A Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
You've been very involved in that. And we both have a personal friend that had, they had a dog that they'd had, he was like, I don't know, 15 or 16 years old. And it took a little while. But then they applied, and they have a darling little puppy.
She's pretty dang cute, that, Haley.
She's pretty darn cute. And so they got her through Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies. So that's GRR. So very quickly, your favorite charities again today to give to on Colorado Gives Day.
Well, as we talked about GRR, and that's goldenrescue.com. But if you go to the Colorado Gives site, just search. I think you can search animal, or you can just search Golden Retriever Rescue and you'll find them. Okay, if you're not a golden lover, you could go to Big Dogs Huge Paws.
Okay.
Big Dogs Huge Paws.
Okay.
You know, take in a Mastiff, a Great Dane, but they're doing great work. And my fellow realtor, Katie Harkin, does amazing work over there as a volunteer. And then, of course, the Colorado Realtor Foundation.
Well, they're golden, too.
And they are golden. The Colorado Realtor Foundation, that is the heart of the realtors and helping with affordable housing assistance and doing good work in that area.
Love that. And, Lauren, I know you're involved all year long, but one of your favorites?
Yeah, mine is, again, Kenzie's Causes. It's Jessica and her staff over there are doing incredible things to raise money and help underprivileged families, not just through school supplies and holiday presents, but just throughout the year, just helping keep these families on their feet through some rough times. So it's a really cool program that they have.
And another one I'll probably just mention is Independence Institute. They're doing great work, and I probably will put that on my list. And I'm a little bit to my church today and a little bit to GRR, and I think I'm going to go shopping like you said. It's Christmas time, but thank you so much. And, Lauren, I'm going to try. I think I have your number memorized. I hope I do.
Go for it.
303-880-8881.
You did it.
303-880-8881 to reach Lauren Levy, and I know you'd love to talk with people about that. And Karen Levine, Remax Alliance, 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. Love having you guys here, and I greatly appreciate your partnership. So thank you for being here, Lauren.
Thank you, Kim.
Love being here.
It's always great to have you here.
Having us.
So today, our quote for today is from Kenny Gwynn, this former governor of Nevada. He said, "I believe the best service to the child is the service closest to the child. And children who are victims of neglect, abuse, or abandonment must not also be victims of bureaucracy. They deserve our devoted attention, not our divided attention." Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice in the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.